Moncrief on News Talk.
D Reddy and Declan Buckley join us for So You Think You're Not. Good afternoon
here.
To you both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you ready to be wise?
Wisdom.
We'll do our best.
I'm in a tricky situation with a good friend of mine. I run a tech startup. Cool. And this guy essentially works for me. Yet we've been friends since college days. However, he is now moving on to new pastures and his next prospective employer is looking for a reference. My friend has asked me to provide one. Normally, this wouldn't be a problem. However, this guy, while a brilliant mate, great crack and a lovely fellow, is also lazy, unmotivated, sloppy with deadlines, unfocused and pretty unproductive. I realise I could write him a glowing reference full of rubbish, but the problem is this. Our sector is niche, and I know that a positive reference will reflect poorly on my judgment. Once the new employer realises how incompetent he is, what should I do?
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Well, one, I think, great news that if, you know, if they are sloppy with deadlines and focused and unproductive, great news that they might be moving on to new pastures.
Great news, yeah.
So don't shoot yourself in the foot there.
Yeah.
I think maybe because, you know, the person who wrote the email has said that the sector is very niche. So perhaps one way to handle it would be to say that you you don't want to give a reference to a competitor or that you don't have a good relationship with the person who would be receiving the reference, and that it might not help your friend if it was to come from you. So basically ask somebody else to do it.
Okay. But who else would do it if it's just this guy?
Well, people get references from jobs that
like
not,
the priest or something.
I don't know how much that would attack.
I gave him communion. He was a lovely lad then.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, the like, If you don't want to ruin the friendship, that you kind of just have to either put them off by putting them off the scent of why you don't want to do it, or just suck it up and do it and be glad that they'll be working for somebody else come January.
Yeah, but if they don't give the reference, then maybe the friend doesn't get the job
well,
and he's still stuck with the rubbish boy.
Yeah, so weigh that up as well.
Yeah.
I think it's amusing that this tech startup guy is worried about his reputation because he's probably got a trash reputation anyway. But I would.
Whoa!
Yeah, you know.
What's that based on?
Yeah, it's based on tech. From Elon Musk down to the guy who did my website. Yeah. They're all trash.
I don't think Elon Musk is going to ask us for advice somehow. He's too busy trying to destroy the world.
Well, he's weighing in on everything at the moment, Sean.
Elon, if you're listening, we'd like to hear what your opinion is on this.
I think the interesting thing, though, is that because of the references have become so problematic because of these exact kind of dilemmas. Mm. There was a time when, and you alluded to the you know, getting one from the guard or from the parish priest to say, you know, you were a man of good standing. Who do a great job on polishing the silver or whatever it was in the big house. But all that stuff is by the way now. And the reality of it is, like what you alluded to, Dee, is that sometimes references can be weaponized. They can be used to kind of conceal a really bad employee, getting them out the door, or they can just not be true. And so in a way that most HR people who are in the process of employing people will probably still ask for them, but I don't think they would be putting much stock into them.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, it's a kind of a moot point. However, because it's a game, a fraught with, like, you know, many problems, the first instance would be to always have a get out. Like, it is policy that we don't give out, or, you know, I don't do that. That's not good for me. You made a good 2 points about what are those, you know, if there was a follow up. You know, well, why don't you? You know, yeah, well, I had a bad experience before.
I would have thought in the tech industry, it's not a case of just writing an email. There'd probably be an expectation of taking a phone call and being asked direct questions. In which case, that's why I think the sort of reputational issue is there for the person who's emailed this.
So exactly.
Maybe I really do think putting your friend off by saying, oh, look, I don't have a good relationship with that company or with that hiring manager might be the way to go so that they can potentially ask somebody else.
Can Because you think as well, he says it's very niche, so it's a small area, so everybody knows everyone. So what do they even need a reference for?
Yeah, you're not going to get the job anyway.
They don't really know.
I do think, though, that when it comes to things like this, is that the first instance is to kind of be going, I don't give out references. But if you're kind of being hit on hard by a mate to go, do one for me, please. To have maybe a kind of a deflection to go, well, I didn't hang out with you that much on that job. Maybe ask Dee, because she worked with you on the project, and basically throw her under the bus. But, you know, in the end of the day, I think that most people know that references are a kind of a dodgy, smoky area to get into. And then most people will kind of have these really vague references that they give out. Like, yes, I worked with Dee and it was between this time and this time.
Yes.
And that's it.
And there's a hidden language to them as well.
Actually, somebody says exactly that. You can write a generic, nondescript reference with loads of words that mean nothing, like most press releases from tech startups.
And the less detail in it will actually speak volumes. But then you get yourself back in the problem of maybe that person not getting that job.
Yeah, apparently, says another person, all the employment law experts are having the afternoon off. Apparently, it's illegal to give a bad reference. Mm. That aside, don't be negative. Just be as little positive as possible. Give the reference, get rid of them. People go into jobs all the time having had glowing references and they turn out to be dreadful. Michael says all you need to say is that during their time with us, he was brilliant. Anything can happen after he moves on.
Exactly.
It's true.
It's culture fit, you know.
Yeah. Though Tom says, do you care about your friend or do you care about money? Just write the bloody reference. Well, you can care about both things at the same time, Tom. That's the...
And it's also a case of like, who are you giving the reference to? And are they like a client or are they somebody that you work with? Because that could have a direct impact on you know, on what they think of you. It is a reputational thing in certain... If it's not going to be a reputational thing, if you're never going to see these people ever again, then it lands more in the domain of you and your personal relationship with your friend. And, you know, doing him a solid or her a solid by kind of spoofing it up, I mean, it's very unethical. It just doesn't seem like it was move to me.
Because I suppose, though, if the tech thing is very niche, they're all bumping into each other when they go for their waffly conferences.
If they're allowed to leave the building. I think they do it all on Zoom now, don't they?
Oh, do they? Oh, okay. I thought they all had to wander around in buildings with, you know, lanyards around their neck, you know.
Branded.
That's what they do.
Fleeces.
Get AI to do it. Or you do
perfect.
It and blame AI.
Oh, God, poor AI. What did she ever do?
Poor AI said nobody ever.
Do references by phone, then lie to your friend. Easy, says Dahi. Get the future employer to call you so you won't be able to see what you've said on paper. Yeah, would the friend have a right to see the reference?
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously the employment lawyers who were texting in there, I don't think they have a right to see it, but I don't think you can give a bad written reference.
What's the point of a reference then?
Well, this is it.
Well, this is the whole point. You're kind of damned if you do. You're damned if you don't.
For a lot of places that are hiring, I guess it can be a bit of a box ticking exercise as well.
But even as a statement of fact, you can say, you can't say like John was great when he was sober, or you know, even if that actually happened, you can't say that.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
It's literally down to like, you know, validating some of the facts that you, between X date and X date and Y date. Your man was there on the books getting paid far too much.
That person needs to write the reference as follows. If you can get X to work for you, you will indeed be fortunate. if he is dishonest in the glowing reference, there could be a litigious backlash on him. Who's going to sue him? Not the friend. He's going to go, hang on, you said I was great and I was rubbish. So how dare you say that about me? Why does he need a reference if he already has the job?
A lot of places would only do like, that after the offer.
That's true. Just to make sure there isn't any, you know.
And it could even be that they're using a third party program or person that is actually doing that stuff after they've given an offer. Mm. So if you're, you know, if your college things don't match up or if your references don't match up. So it really, I would say you're not going to be asked to give too much information. Yeah. Just do it.
It's just the
DM. Christmas, for God's sake.
My girlfriend is a non-practicing Catholic. Well, that's why she's not good at it, isn't it? However, every Christmas, she's dragged along to midnight mass at her local church by her elderly aunt. She's bringing me along too, as I'm spending Christmas with her family. She's a very sexual person. Now, this is the girlfriend, not the elderly aunt. I just want to clear that up. We don't know. Anyway, she's a very sexual person and likes kink, as do I. However, she's recently revealed to me that she wants to give me a hand shandy while we're attending the mass, specifically during the act of contrition. Do you have to stand for that bit? I'm not sure.
On a technical point.
I was taken aback by the suggestion. I'm not Catholic myself, but I presume this is quite taboo. You presume?
Yeah.
She insists it will be completely a hidden ham shandy, as no one will notice, because she plans on bringing a blanket.
Who brings a blanket to mass?
Exactly. That's a very common thing in mass. Anyway, she's very keen for this to happen and says she doesn't want anything else for Christmas but this. She's the type of person whose kink really thrives on risk and danger. And I'm worried that I will be a bad boyfriend if I let her down. What should I do?
There's just so many. Is
the aunt deaf and blind? Is the first question.
Will she be sitting in the middle?
Yes. Can I just reach over there, Andy?
You know, it's called a reach around.
I don't think the act of contrition is all that long. So, I mean, full credit to the girlfriend for having that level of confidence.
I don't want to come across all kind of like I know the liturgy better than anybody else, but I don't believe that the act of contrition is actually part of the sacrament of Mass.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So therefore,
maybe
like,
a Christmas Mass, but it's longer.
Maybe they might be referring to the penitential act, which is I confess to Almighty God.
Okay, that's my yeah. So, well, and your man isn't a Catholic,
which is quite long.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
But I don't think it's long enough to kind of achieve satisfaction in this particular act.
I suspect nobody involved in this will be getting a reference from their parish priest going forward.
Yes.
They might be getting arrested.
Yeah.
Look, this is kind of a stupid problem, because the reality is it boils down to three issues. One, is it fun to do it? Perhaps.
Mm.
Is it the right place to do it? And will other people other than you and your girlfriend be injured by it?
Potentially.
Perhaps. Mm. And that's where it starts. The red light starts to come on for me. And then it gets into other areas like, you know, do you even want to do it? Because you don't even want to do it. So then it comes into this whole other consent issue. So from those points of view, I'm saying this is just a big, like, black mark. Santa won't give you any presents over Christmas if you do this. Grow up. Go somewhere else. Go into a field. Go to a music festival. Do something, you know, a bit more kind of your age group. But that's
the other thing to do is make sure that there isn't a school on the same grounds as that church, because my God, would that legal situation be a lot worse?
It's midnight
if you
mass
got caught.
Though.
No, I know, but I think if the school is on the grounds, you could be
done
you
for.
Could
it,
be, yeah.
Is it worse if you do it on the school grounds, even if it's at midnight?
I mean, generally, with hand shandies, I think that is the case.
That's and that's the law, folks.
Yep, you heard it here first.
I mean, like, it's also like, I think it's quite interesting what this kink is and why, how it's kind of manifesting itself. It's just, it seems a bit dark to me, and I just kind of like, I'm not into shaming people for what gives them pleasure, but this seems to be very outwardly aggressive kind of a thing. And I think that's not something I'd be personally into getting involved with.
Like you pointed out, like, not to yuck anyone's yum, but the fact that he is unsure about this and she hasn't immediately gone,
Okay, we'll leave it.
It's kind of, that's not great, because I think if the roles were reversed and it was a guy trying to persuade a female partner to do something that she wasn't comfortable with, that wouldn't be okay. So I don't see why it's okay in this situation either.
Yeah. Also as well, okay, I get the thing that she likes a bit of danger and getting caught, but if you're doing it when you're sitting beside your elderly aunt, you've kind of wheeled right up to the edge of the cliff there. I want to get caught.
That's not danger. That's down into kind of into transgressing into other people's personal autonomy and their respect. I just find that a bit, like, again, I'm not at all a kind of a prim and proper person, but this just made me feel a bit kind of...
There's too much proximity to other people who have no way to consent to it for it to be okay.
Yeah, so just a flat no.
It's just, I think, no.
Yeah, let's find some other way. He should be into finding some other way to kind of...
Pop into the confessional box when Mass isn't on or something. You know, ways and means of everything.
Okay, we, I think News Talk might want to distance itself from that particular suggestion.
Like, you know.
But your man says she's very keen for this to happen. She says she doesn't want anything else for Christmas but this. Is this guy just trying to save himself a few bob? Like, you know, that's it's better than perfume.
I'd read between the lines on the gift-giving mate as well.
Like,
sure she does want something else.
I mean, she probably does.
A new blanket.
A new blanket, yeah. You will need a new blanket after that. Which blanket? Where is she getting the blanket? Is it her mother's blanket? Does she bring it home afterwards and puts it back on the sofa?
Some churches have little blankets, don't they? The one, the big cold churches. Nice country church. This could be. I'm seeing a kind of a.
I've never seen someone wearing
a
blanket in
a church.
No. And if I ever do,
I've been at weddings where people have had, like, you know, in the pews have been. I must be going to a very high class Jane Austen kind of a wedding.
Or you're going to Han Shanti Central.
I don't know
The thought didn't even cross my mind.
Was
I'm
it like
holy.
One of them satanic masses you were going to?
No. Presbyterian.
So a hard no fecker. Yeah.
I think it's just a bit stupid.
Yeah. You know, it is just a bit stupid.
You don't have to go along with everybody's kinks in order to be a good partner. I mean, the whole point about a kink is that there has to be some pushback, and sometimes the pushback is all the way to a no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. A female colleague who sits next to me is driving me mad with her constant grooming. She seems to have a magic handbag like Mary Poppins, from which she pulls an endless variety of equipment and potions. She sprays her perfume at least once an hour. She regularly brushes her hair and then picks out the extraneous strands from said hairbrush and deposits them all over our shared floor space. She hikes up her dress to spray and deposits to spray deodorant, leaving the office. Why does she hike up her dress to spray deodorant? All the way up? She even gargles mouthwash occasionally. Clients sometimes hear this when I have them on the phone.
Where is she spitting that?
I don't know. It sounds grotesque. I find it all rather distracting, a little vulgar, to be honest. Well, aren't you the prim one? I don't understand why she can't do all this preening in the bathroom or at home. The trouble is this. She's senior to me, and I'm finding it difficult to work out how to get her to stop. Send help.
Yeah, I mean, I think this email could have stopped at the first sentence. A female colleague who sits next to me is driving me mad. Full stop, end of. Because it sounds like there is nothing that this woman could do that wouldn't annoy this person. They clearly just don't like her all that much. A lot of the stuff that's been listed there is pretty bland in terms of stuff that somebody might be doing. You know, maybe she feels that if she was to go off to the bathroom to do these things that she needs to do during the working day, then the colleague would just be complaining about her spending too much time away from her desk. So you kind of can't win with people like that.
Okay. I still don't get that she hikes up her dress to spray deodorant. Where is she spraying the deodorant? But like, you'd have to like hike the dress up fairly high.
Because her sleeves are too tight to go up her arm.
Yeah, I understand. But you have to hike the dress up fairly high to do that.
Well, I suppose it depends on the dress.
It could be a nice A-line dress.
You get a good angle going. From Percy, good angle.
You can't spray too close to the pit, otherwise you end up with
a wet
chalky
pit.
residue or something.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
That's not what you want.
Yeah.
Or it's too cold.
Yeah.
I think, like, look, there's a few bits of this letter, you know, that I thought were kind of... that jumped out. One is the whole, she's senior to me, but she doesn't have my same, you know, my same...
Sensibilities,
yeah. And that just seemed a kind of a, that's kind of a more about an interpersonal thing than it is about one person being right and one person being wrong. Ultimately, people do this. Some people think it's not nice. Other people think it's perfectly fine. Whatever. You have to find ways to work with the people, you know, around you. And if you're going to pick on that, which seems relatively minor compared to some of the stuff that's crossed our desk here on this item, I mean, I'd be going to go, you don't know how lucky you are.
No one's
She's
getting hand jammies in the
like,
shared office, you know?
Britney Spears fragrance into the room. That's the worst it could be. No, it could be way worse.
Yeah. Okay, so calm down, Mrs.
Yeah, or else, you know, or else be a little bit, just say it. Don't be this kind of pettiness of kind of humping and tutting and just being angry with somebody.
Yeah.
Because if you actually verbalise your complaint, sometimes you realise how petty it is when you say the words out of your mouth. And then,
I mean, it does sound like that person has gone past the point of simmering resentment into just
yeah.
sheer dislike, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard to pedal back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can focus on people's behaviours as a kind of a, as a, what is a deflection away from what actually is annoying you about the situation. And, you know, maybe she's just annoyed. If it wasn't that particular trait that bugged her about her senior person on her team, then it'd be something else. So,
yeah. So that's what's really going on there. Sorry, person who wrote to us.
Going
back to the hand shandy question, behold the rapidly moving blanket, says the texter. It's a Christmas miracle. I'm not religious either. Can't stand all religion, to be honest. But doing that in mass is too much. She needs a good talking to. And someone else says, I find that surprise hand shandies are better. Meticulously planned hand shandies always disappoint, in my experience.
I suppose that level of planning, there would be a certain amount of pressure then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Especially like the clock's ticking.
That's the kind of why it feels a bit kind
of... Mary's going to wake
actually,
up.
if he's not religious, he doesn't know the bit of the mass that he's meant to be waiting out for.
Particularly because I don't think it actually exists. I think it's literally, the actual contrition is inside the box, isn't it? That's what
maybe
she
means. That's her case.
She needs to go into the confessional.
She's suggested a part of mass that doesn't even exist, so that it's actually just watching him wait.
Oh, now you got it.
Yeah.
There you got it. Well, we'll all be
waiting.
She's
just going to torture him. Now, this isn't actually a question so much. Mine is not a problem, but more of a request. My aging mother has become quite immobile in the past year and has to spend most of her time at home. She lives alone and is finding it so difficult, and very few people call besides her children. She had good contacts by phone, but it's people she wants and needs to meet. So my wish for Christmas is that people call to the older people that they know over Christmas. We all promise people that we'll call, but we're so busy working, it just doesn't happen. Don't assume they have family with them all the time. They don't. We feel so sad for her, and old age is turning out to be such a disappointment. So give someone you know a buzz and tell them you'd like to pop in for a cuppa, and I'll bet that would make their Christmas. No gifts needed, just to chat and to know they're not forgotten. Remember that they won't be here forever. It makes me think that making it to over 80 is not as good as it should or could be. The advice I'm looking for is how to make the elderly feel more included and happier this festive season. And happy Christmas, says from a daughter.
Oh, well, I mean,
that's really lovely.
I agree. And I think that people can often forget, you know, how limiting being older is. The weather, the fear of going out and getting the flu or whatever, these kind of things, as well as obviously mobility. And just the fact that people are so frantic, running around, going to, like, I came through town and there's a lot of parties and events happening and everybody's having their high life. And then, you know, a lot of older people haven't got the capacity to join in there or don't want to. So, yeah.
I think the listener makes such a good point about, you know, so few, like, don't assume that they have family with them all the time, or that maybe their only opportunity for socialising is with family. So, like, maybe the thing to do in that scenario, if you have an elderly person in your life who hasn't got as active a social life as they used to, organise a non-family related social event that they can attend, whether it's inviting an old friend over for a lunch that you make for them and leave them have their chats or whatever, could be one way to do it.
And you know, the thing about Christmas is, and it sounds kind of like all Hallmark movie, but when you go and do something like calling into an elderly kind of neighbour that you don't know very well, and make, even for 5 minutes, make them feel good, you actually feel better than you made them feel. And you kind of walk away from the situation kind of having acquitted your Christmas responsibility and making it more likely that Santa will come with a nice present.
Yeah, and then you don't talk to them for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
Declan and Dee, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.